The pen is mightier than the sword, or so the old saying goes. But on one notorious night in 1946, an eminent philosopher found himself backing up his sharp words with a sharp weapon. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review of the new book, Wittgenstein's Poker.
It's another one of those great moments in 20th century intellectual history that I wish I hadn't missed. On a raw October evening in 1946, the Cambridge University Moral Science Club, which is a still-functioning discussion group for philosophy professors and their students, held a meeting. The guest speaker was Karl Popper, whose now famous book, The Open Society and Its Enemies, a fierce critique of Plato, Freud, and totalitarianism, had just been published. In the distinguished overflow crowd that night was the aged Bertrand Russell, the radical political activist and the Western world's most famous living philosopher. Also present in the crowd was Popper's nemesis, Ludwig Wittgenstein, the man hailed by many of his peers as the most brilliant philosopher of his time. This was the one and only meeting, or perhaps I should say collision, of the three eminent philosophers, and though it took place in a room filled with men whose profession was to discern the nature of truth, few then present agreed on who said what and the order in which the fateful events transpired. The most plausible version of the meeting goes like this. Popper began his talk, which was entitled, Are There Philosophical Problems? Within seconds, Wittgenstein, as was his custom at lectures, began to loudly and furiously interrupt Popper. Popper popped off too, and then the enraged Wittgenstein grabbed a red-hot poker from the room's fireplace and brandished it in Popper's direction. Some fellow philosophers, ordinarily not called upon to be men of action, tried to intervene. Wittgenstein stormed out of the room and slammed the door. Someone in the audience, trying to restore civility, asked Popper to give an example of a moral rule, and Popper wittily replied, not to threaten visiting lecturers with pokers. The whole debacle took less than 10 minutes. Wittgenstein's Poker, an extremely likable and smart first book by BBC journalists David Edmonds and John Idenow, educates us readers into an appreciation of what the big fuss was all about. The tone of their book is absolutely perfect. Edmonds and Idenow don't condescend to their subjects by turning Popper and Wittgenstein into kooky scholarly caricatures. Nor do they overstate the case for the importance of the philosophical face-off. After all, the sun still rose the next morning, and most people in the world, then and now, wouldn't know Wittgenstein from Einstein. But as Edmonds and Idenow explain in entertaining and lucid fashion, what was at stake in the battle of brains that night was the ultimate purpose of philosophy, whose contemporary history they elegantly summarize. Popper, to simplify shamelessly, was a big idea man. He thought philosophy should tackle the problem of knowledge and the moral dilemmas of freedom. His lasting influence, as Wittgenstein's Poker demonstrates, has been on businessmen, scientists, and politicians. Václav Havel and the Dalai Lama are among his fans. Wittgenstein, very waywardly following in Bertrand Russell's footsteps, thought that puzzling over the problem of language was an end in itself, and he went on to avow that words are autonomous from the world of objects they're supposed to refer to. Wittgenstein has won the legacy battle hands down. Postmodernist art and theory are indebted to him, and he's often placed in a category with literary master surgeons of language like Gertrude Stein and Samuel Beckett. In addition to both men's fundamental contempt for the work the other was doing, their common nationality, religious background, and bullying argumentative style forecast that their meeting at Cambridge would be tempestuous. Wittgenstein's Poker expands outward to describe what life was like for Viennese Jewish families, like the Poppers and the Wittgensteins, in the early decades of the 20th century. The book also naughtily revels in detailing both philosophers' awful personalities. The oracular Wittgenstein evoked fear in his worshipful students, and even mesmerized a few of them into abandoning philosophy for factory work. He said of fellow philosopher and mentor G.E. Moore that the man was living proof of how far one could get in life with absolutely no intelligence whatsoever. Popper was no Sonny Jim either. Colleagues said of him that he was so intellectually intolerant that his great book should have been called The Open Society by One of Its Enemies. At our own moment in history, when academic careers, at least in American universities, are determined by student evaluations, and when the big draw at my own university this semester was an evening of discussion with Billy Joel, reading Wittgenstein's Poker made me feel wistful. I don't even want to imagine what Wittgenstein and Popper, both refugees from Hitler's Austria, would think of my nostalgia for their good old days.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Wittgenstein's Poker by David Edmonds and John Eidenow.